We are looking at tonight the belt of truth in the truths unto godliness. We've been looking recently at the conflict that we're in, getting prepared for the battle. And God gives us an entire section on, in Ephesians 6, on the armor. So let me bring you into this. Use part of the passage that we were talking about last time, and then bring you into where we are for tonight. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 14a. A just takes us through the belt. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not a flesh and blood battle. We don't bring our automatic rifles into this battle. The Greek has it blood and flesh, in case you were wondering about the order of things. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high or heavenly places. These are ranks of spirit beings who are demons. We find a similar ranking with the angels, principalities and powers, then perhaps lower down are the rulers of darkness of this world, and then the average demon is the wicked spirits in heavenly places. Heavenly places shouldn't surprise you, because it is the atmosphere around planet Earth that is the home of the devil and the demons. They don't live in hell. They're not fireproof. In fact, hell will be their torment. They will not be ruling in hell. They will not be sticking you with a pitchfork in hell. You won't be there at all, hopefully. But they will be in torment. It is a thing that torments whoever is there. So there's no laughter in hell, no wicked laughter. Ha, 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 we've got you here. It is just torment. Wherefore, with all of that, the battle against us, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, or having overcome all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So what we're looking at here is the concept of the belt. Did I have an earlier picture of the guy wearing the belt? Yeah, there's the belt. And look at the one before that. You see it there in use. So it is a belt, like we think of a belt, but then it also comes down protecting the loins, sort of a studded leather that would catch arrows or spears or swords and deflect them. So how does God define victory here? We're looking at our particular victory over the spiritual wickedness. And how does he define this? Well, the battle against Satan is not offensive. We will not take counsel and circle around behind him and take him out. Just not going to happen. He's a spirit being. We have no power against him. We have no way of beating him. So what is it? Well, we fight. It is one of resistance. We are the resistance. And so we fight to keep standing. We are trying not to fall. We are trying not to fail in our Christian stance. And that's our goal, not to let him knock us down and keep us out of the fight. In James 4, verse 7, we learned this. While we can't take him out, we can be properly, see you later, we can be properly resisting the devil. He says here, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, this is in the context of a battle, That means we can make him retreat. And that's probably as good a victory we can get over him. The devil's work is one of deceit, one of speaking. I've elsewhere quoted from the wonderful dream analogy, Pilgrim's Progress. And Bunyan says that that one of the evil spirits comes up behind one of the characters there and whispers into him. And he thought that it was his own mind speaking. He thought these were ideas that were coming just from him, you see. But, and I believe that's what was going on with the temptation of Satan. We've always seen the pictures where, you know, leather-winged Satan is standing there tempting Jesus. But that's kind of mythology. When you actually look at what is going on, it's not until that last one that Jesus actually addresses him as Satan. And that is when he said, "Bow down to me." These were thoughts that were coming to him. But he fought his own thoughts, as it were, with Scripture. And when he announced him, here's the picture. In the darkness of being unseen, the devil comes up behind you and whispers into your ear and gives you the temptations as if your mind thinking this up, as though this just occurred to you. And if you deal with it like that, then you think, well, it's a legitimate choice. It's something I could do. But when you recognize that it's the devil, it's like you turn on this bright flashlight, whip around real fast, and shine it in his face and said, "It's you. It's the devil." And he goes, "Oh, game's up," and he flees. When you find out it's the devil, you don't care what he's saying. You're just not going to buy it, you see. You know this is wrong somehow, some way. And this is your victory, a little bit of a victory, because he will flee from you. Now, you don't resist temptation, you know. You have a problem drinking alcohol and getting drunk. Don't store it in your refrigerator saying, "I'm just going to prove how strong I am." Don't do that. Don't resist temptation. What are we supposed to do with temptation? We're to flee temptation. So don't even walk by that tavern if that's your problem. You see, the smell, the whole things, it can get a hold of you. So cross the street, you know, walk over there. You flee temptation, but you resist the devil and he will flee from you because you recognize that it's the devil doing the work. Now, as we'll see, the first three pieces of armor are things that we already have. And this is what he says, "Stand therefore having," you see, "having your loins girt about with truth." He's going to then speak of taking things up. These are things that you choose to use. But here, these are things that we have. God gives these as gifts of salvation to strengthen us in battle. They speak to what we are as Christians, what we have as Christians. Now, the belt of truth does not mean the Bible. Very often, truth is synonymous with God's word given to man. But here, there's actually a distinction. Later, he's going to call the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So that will be the word of God. So what does he mean here? Well, instead, the belt of truth is God's gift of understanding the way things really are. If you could imagine seeing things as they really are, the world around you, the United States around us, has bought into mythology. They don't think that it's mythology. They think we're the ones with the mythology. But how do they look at evolution? that the grand and glorious triumph of the human mind, the human body, superior in so many ways to other things of nature, it just accidentally happened by mixing of chemicals in some primordial mud, maybe a lightning bolt set it on thing. I think they got that from the movie Frankenstein. But then suddenly it became alive, and suddenly there was a living cell. Just happened accidentally. And the more we know of the human cell, the various parts of it, the dedicated duties of each part of it, we say that doesn't happen by accident. That shows very clear planning and design. A creator put this together. But they're sold on this, because not to be sold on it means they have to believe that you were, that they were created, and therefore they answer to God. They don't want to answer to anybody. This is not a scientific thing. Somebody asked, well, how come all the scientists are agreed on evolution? All the scientists are not agreed. There's a great debate in this. It's just that you come out against evolution, you don't get the funding. So you may be writing a book, you may be asking the questions, but you're not doing it publicly, because then you don't have any money for your scientific work. The mythology that everything happened like this. You know, we're afraid of AI. Do you know AI? Artificial intelligence, the building of the robots and so on. And it is impressive and scary, because they're using it to gather all your information, and all they have to do is kind of press a button that refers to you and list everything you've done and said and everything you've posted on Facebook and whatever you bought and everything. It's all there. So it's scary in that regard. But you know what they're afraid of? That it's going to turn into a human mind. It's going to become alive. But the ability of the computer is to store information, but it cannot think. It can imitate thinking. This is how they're building it. It imitates it, but it is not thinking. My son-in-law Gary was saying that he was reading about this, where scientists were terrified. They had these two great AI things, and all of a sudden they started talking to each other and just really busy with passing information back and forth. And the scientists didn't understand what they were saying. It was too scary. Oh no, they're getting ready to take over the world. But the people who actually got into it and researchers said, no, it was, both of them were just spewing nonsense that doesn't mean anything. Why are we afraid of this? Because we think that the human mind popped into existence by accident, so it must be fairly easy to do. This is why they think animals, you know, Planet of the Apes, that the animals can just be trained to think, and then they'll become human, and perhaps more powerful than humans. This is mythology, but they're living it. I was just seeing on the news again a person talking about how they're hoping to be able to link up wormholes in space to get us out into some area of the universe where there are livable planets. You know, they've been spending a lot of time looking on the telescopes and radio telescopes to find inhabitable planets, and they found none. Not some. None. This is why the stories of the UFOs coming from, you know, Mars or something. You know, we've been to Mars. It's not me personally, but they've been there, and the thing's been roving all around. It didn't find anything human. There's been one planet where life has formed, and that's here, and that's because God chose this place. You and I need to recognize that there is a truth, the way things really are. But all around us, they believe in a mythology. And they will judge you because you have rejected that mythology. In fact, you can be dangerous. Now you're dangerous if you doubt that what the Parent-Teacher Association is doing at your school, teaching your kids to choose their own gender and all these kind of things. Choose socialism or not, well, then you're disruptive. You are officially a terrorist, according to the leftist administration that we're under. So, God has given us a gift of truth. And this is the belt. You know, where did you hang the sword? Well, it hung from the belt. And other weapons were hung from the belt. The knives, the daggers, these things, the belt. The belt held you in tight, so that you could run and so on and not be kind of jostling and flopping. And so it geared you up, it girded you up for the fight, but it also was the handy place to hang your weapons. And this is truth for us. God revealed truth. The God who made it all, who constructed it all, who understands it all, has revealed to us actual truth. And everything that we believe and can use against the devil and against falsehood basically hangs from that understanding of truth. So let me share this with you. Number one, we cannot stand against our spiritual enemies while ignorant of reality. You know, just imagine that you are blind and you've made up a world around you and you're going to fight your enemies when you can't see and you've just made up a reality, see? Well, you're fighting things that aren't there and you're dealing with things that are there, but you can't fight. Point A, I want you to recognize our limitations, the problem of our perception. All we really know for sure are two things. One is that we think, and the other is that we perceive. The only reason we know this is because this happens within us and we can recognize it. Descartes was to say, I think, therefore I am. He was asking the question, how do I know I'm real? Maybe I'm imagining this whole thing, see? And he said, no, I know that I think. That is a declaration that I exist, see? Well, beyond that, we also know we perceive. Our senses are putting things into us. We see, we hear, we can touch, we can feel. All these things, the senses, perceive an outside world, it seems, and feeds it to us. So we know for sure that we can think and that we are perceiving. Now the problem is this, we do not know for sure whether what we perceive is true. Does what we perceive match the way things really are? Now you perhaps had a very realistic dream, and when you wake up you incorporated that into your thinking. You know, the idea that you did something wrong in your, as a kid, and you're thinking that you dreamed this, and you go through the day waiting for your parents to pounce on you, find out that you did this wrong thing, or something else. But it didn't really happen. You perceived it in a dream. And there are other things that you may perceive. My son treated us to a video, what is it, virtual reality video thing this last Christmas. So I was able to stand up and talk to Darth Vader and so on. So, you know, these are things that didn't actually happen, but I saw it and heard it, and I was there, it seemed. But you recognize it's only virtual reality. The idea here is that the question is, how do we know that what we're seeing is real? Or do we wake up and every part of our life has been a dream? or something artificially fed into us. If you've seen the Matrix movies, the idea that you're holed up in some place and you're being fed this world through electronics. Well, the difficulty is that we perceive through our senses, and our senses are limited. So notice that our eyesight is limited. We may see colors only between infrared. We can't see infrared, and we can't see ultraviolet. In between that are the spectrum that we can see. The retina is geared to register light that is of the electronic electromagnetic spectrum of between infrared and ultraviolet. So if you were able to manufacture some cloth that was colored outside of that, then you'd have your curtain of invisibility or shroud of invisibility. Able to put that on, and since it can't be seen, then there would be a spot in people's vision where they can't see it. You recognize then that spirit beings might be among us, but they're just not among the colors that we can see. Secondly, our hearing is limited, mine especially. We may hear sounds averaging between 20 to 20,000 hertz. Now that's the electronic vibration sound. Things below that, we have found out that the lower register, we can't hear it, but it feels like something. There's a thing that happens reverberating within us. We can feel it, but we can't hear it. And beyond it, we can't hear it. Our sense of touch is limited. At sea level, we have an average atmospheric pressure of 14.7 pounds per square inch on us. You are being pushed in every square inch of your body, 14.7, nearly 15 pounds of weight is being pushed against you everywhere. But because it's everywhere, it evens out. We don't register that. So our sense of touch is flawed in that way. Some touches are so soft that we cannot notice. And in our perception, right now, there are a lot of things that you're touching and feeling that you've just blanked out because it's not important for the decisions you're making. Like, you can feel where you're sitting. You can feel the touch of the hard pew under you. You can feel where your clothes touch your body. You can feel your tongue laying there in your mouth, touching your teeth. You can feel these things with your tongue. And if you become aware of it, you are distracted, you see. But these things that we touch, we kind of zone out on those things so that we're not worried about it. Our sense of taste is limited. Researching this, I found out that we are able to taste five main tastes. There's salty, sweet, bitter, sour, and one that I hadn't heard of was umami. And the umami means savory and was discovered by the Japanese because it's the main flavor of soy sauce. So if you taste soy sauce, you're tasting umami. And then our sense of smell. It's very limited. You know, most, we have all those five tastes, but we think of taste as going far beyond those five. That's because we think of taste as including the smell. Scientists estimate we can discriminate over 1 trillion odors. However, the average dog's sense of smell is 100 times better than us. Then a bloodhound is 300 times better than us. A bear, his sense of smell is 7 times better than a bloodhound, or 2,100 times better than a human. You won't be able to evade a bear because he can smell you at a distance. I imagine it as being like sort of a semi-foggy night and a bright light shining a mile away. You can see it. You maybe not know what it is, but that's the way their sense of smell is. The dog might not see what it is, but he can smell it that far away and be able to track it down and get to the source of it. So we're limited, bounded at every area, and anything beyond those we could not perceive. So the reality, if there's a reality beyond our senses, as much of the machines show that there is, you know, the electromagnetic spectrum beyond infrared, beyond ultraviolet, and the weights of touch and sensory and all that, we have machines that are finely tuned enough to be able to pick these up. We just can't perceive them ourselves. Then the other thing about this is that we're limited in our perception, but secondly, what we perceive is not always true. I was attracted to magic tricks because, hey, he's doing something that can't be real, but I just saw him do it, so I perceived that he did it. How did he do that? It became a puzzle to me. So there are such things as optical illusions, and there are such things as mistaken perceptions. There are times when, moving to our new area out in Pittsburgh, they have these metal bumpers to keep you from going off the road if you were not paying attention. So it has wooden, big heavy wooden posts holding up these metal bumpers. Well, as I first got into that area, and they have several of those around, when I would first see them looking down the road, peripheral, I'd see them on end, and I'm seeing this thing like a body and then legs coming down, and there was more than one leg, and I said it's a dog or something. See? But then as I looked at it and then as I drove by it, it turned into this thing. So the beginning, my perception went with what it was used to, and now driving there, it doesn't even seem like it could be a dog. It's just it's that metal thing that's being held up to keep me on the road. But your perceptions, you can see something, you know, what is that? And then you look at it, oh, it's just that. So mistaken perceptions. Then we have a limited understanding of reality. What we call reality, this is the here and now, this is real. See? Well, it's as real as we understand it. But time is a fourth dimension. We think of time as inevitable and ongoing and never ending and so on. But it's just one of those principles of our universe. They have done the research with really precise time measurement chronometers. And they found that if they are set to exactly that microsecond the same, put in two jets, one goes east, one goes west at jet speed, when they land, they are off. That the time going that speed in one direction is a little faster or a little slower than time going that fast the opposite way. The actual passage of time was different. They found that time is different the further away from the mass of Earth. You get up far enough, and time passes differently there. There are things that we're beginning to see that what we always took for granted is not actually part of reality. The spiritual places and beings are unperceived. No man has seen God at any time. John tells us in John chapter 1. That meaning the God as he is unperceptible to man because he's not made of matter. He's not made of things that the light can reflect off of. And then the reality of our world is manufactured by the quanta from which it is made. What does that mean? Well, this is solid, and I'm on solid ground, you know. Well, what is this solid thing? Well, we get closer and closer and closer. We begin to see that it's made of molecules that are doing this. And the molecules, because of how, depending on how, what the temperature is, if it's hotter, they go like this. Boiling water, the molecules are doing this, and then finally they're going pop and going off that steam. Those are the molecules. But if we were to look closer, we find that these molecules, wood molecules, are moving back and forth. And we get a little closer, we see that they're made of atoms, which is mostly empty space. You have a nucleus of particles, quanta, and then a field of electrons that have an energy level around it. But in between, it's mostly nothing. If you could imagine an atom, and we were small enough we could see it about this big, if we stopped the movement, it would be too small to see. It's made up of particles, subatomic particles, that we couldn't see it at all. And a molecule then, if all the atoms stopped, it would disappear. Because this solid pulpit is mostly empty space. So it's as real as we care to make it. You have seen, perhaps, the sun break the horizon and come up. And yet you know that the sun is basically still, and it's us that are turning. Our earth is turning toward them. It didn't feel like that. It looked like the sun was moving. Sunrise, sunset. You see. We don't say earth turn. We know it. We recognize it. In fact, at the very moment you saw the sun appear, that light appear, it actually happened 8 minutes before, but it took that long for the light to get to you. 8 minutes for the sun's light to reach you. So it kind of messes with your thinking of time. You see the sun where it was 8 minutes ago. Because it's already 8 minutes. You wait 8 minutes, see where it is now. That's where it was 8 minutes before. So these are the realities that we don't deal with because we don't have to. We don't have to understand that. But the more we understand the science, the more we recognize that our reality is pretty well established to what we need to know to function. So don't be those who think that you have to see it to believe it. Because that's not really true. Most of us do not understand the inner working of electronics and so on for our computer or TV, even radio. All these things are dealing with things beyond our ability to grasp. But we still turn it on and use that, to use your phone to do things. You know, when I was little, if somebody said, yeah, I use my phone to... My daughter's daughter said, Mommy, when you were growing up, did your mom let you use her phone? Yeah, it was on the wall in the kitchen, you know. That was it. And so things have changed where things were different. But I didn't understand really the phone then. How, because this always gets me, the voice that I hear on the phone is not your voice. When I hear you, I'm hearing your voice here, you know. You're hearing my voice. But you're listening to it recorded, you're hearing a replication, a duplication of my voice. That's what we hear on the phone, on the radio, on the TV. We're seeing replications of this. We're not seeing the real thing, not hearing the real thing. All right, all of that to say, number two, since God is transcendent beyond this universe, we have no ability to perceive him at all. Let me just give you the scriptures. Exodus 33:19-20. And he said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of Jehovah, the Lord, before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. He is invisible. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. He is beyond and above anything we can do. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He came in this reality to show us the heart of God, the way of God's thinking. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him, of God, from the creation, that is, by means of what he created of the world, are clearly seen. We can see invisible things. We can see the invisible things of God by understanding that God created the world. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are, or that they may be, without excuse. Everybody is witness to by the universe around them that there is a God. Colossians 1:15, Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And 1 John 4:12-20, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? So there is no seeing God. There are visions of God, but this is like a photograph or a computer-generated image. It's a picture that God has given to us of him. Third thing is this. God revealed himself and all relevant truth. He has not given us all truth, because he knows so much more than anything about this world and universe and so on that we never will need to know, perhaps. But all relevant truth, he has revealed this to us by his word. So, again, this is not talking about the Word of God as the belt of truth, but the belt of truth is derived from the Word of God. Psalm 119:43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. We have God's word giving us the truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we're reading the word and we gain truth, a vision of the way things really are. 2 Corinthians 6:7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. This is how we can advance and fight. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the word conveying the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you have believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. Study here doesn't mean study like we think of study. It means give all diligence. Give your hard work toward to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly cutting, rightly understanding each piece, the word of truth. And James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let me close with number four. Gird yourselves then with this belt. Gird yourselves with his truth, the only truth. We're hearing this ridiculous stuff about I will identify as a man or a woman, and then you have to believe me and all this kind of stuff. Well, actually, I don't. I was really great at pretending when I was a kid, making up stuff, but I knew it wasn't real. I didn't require anybody else to believe that it was real. gird yourselves with his truth. And it's the only truth. There is only one way things really are. Whether I know it or not, whether I believe it or not, there's one thing that are true. That's the way things really are, whether I want to believe it or not. So as a belt of truth, that truth, first of all, is a protection in itself. The belt itself would protect you, would deflect weapons, projectiles and things. So truth itself that we gain from the Word of God is a protection in itself. Secondly, it is that which holds our weapon, the Bible. To understand the Bible, we need to grasp the sense of truth. Thirdly, it is that which orients our senses. In other words, just as you know that the earth is round, yet while you're walking on it, it looks flat. And the sky looks curved over you. But we know that the earth is a ball. We've seen the pictures from the moon. You see the ball of the earth. So the truth orients our senses. It teaches our senses that you're seeing what you're seeing, but the reality behind it is this. So let me give you nine things. All creation belongs to God the Creator. Secondly, the present universe had a beginning and will have an end. Thirdly, believers will live forever in a new heaven and a new earth. Let this orient the way you think about life today. Number four, this life is temporary. The next is eternal. This life, possessions are temporary. But the next lives are eternal. What he gives you, you will have forever. Number six, this life's position is temporary. What position do you hold? Authority in the home, authority on the job, but it's temporary. Next life's position is eternal. Your authority, your financial position, your influence over others, your reputation. This is fixed and eternal in the life to come. Number seven, this life's difficulties are temporary. The next life's health and strength and ability are eternal. We won't have difficulties. Difficulty means that we don't have the ability to overcome it, or we're having trouble with our abilities. Not so then. Number eight, this life's most important works are those with results in the next life. This is how we can evaluate things once we know the truth. And number nine, this life's experiences are dominated by a world spiraling downward into sin and into chaos. The next life is free from all sin. So let me give you this conclusion. Truth is your specific piece of armor to gird yourself for battle, to draw yourself up and understand that you're dealing with truth. With truth, you contain yourself and hold yourself together for the fight. Like a soldier's belt, from truth, your understanding, your accurate understanding of truth, hangs your access to, your grasp of, all the weapons of warfare. So it's basic, it's foundational, it's fundamental. And so getting a knowledge of the truth. When people think that just believe the gospel and you're good to go. The Bible tells us something else, that there's a battle to be fought all the way through our life. And we have to know the way things really are. He has given us that and communicated to us through the Bible. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we turn our hearts over to thee and thank you for the opportunity to know you, to love you, to recognize you actually exist and that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. We ask, Father, that if there are those here tonight that are still caught in the mythology of the world, that they might learn there is only one truth, one real truth. There are many mythologies, but the real truth comes from the Word of God, that you are God, we are the creatures, everything else had been made by you, and you understand how it was to be used and how what should and should not be done. We ask that you might burden our hearts with the task of gaining the truth, of understanding that with all of our limitations, we almost intuitively recognize when you have told us the truth. So guide and direct us then, Father. Help us to depend upon this truth, to carry us through the battle, for we recognize there are actual demonic forces that are trying to get us to fall. And our goal is to stand. With heads bowed, eyes closed. Perhaps you say, I'm not actually winning this battle. I still find that I'm doubting the thing of creation, still doubting the thing of God's rule over morality, that the world is telling me that we can make this up on our own, and I fight that battle. Well, let me ask you to set those things aside and believe the truth that God knows and the God truth that he has communicated from the Word of God. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you just slip your hand up, say, pray for me. I need to take his orientation in life, not the world's. Pray for me. Father, then we trust thee, for you have authored the way things are, and you have communicated to us the way things are. And so you are the God of truth. You are the revealer of truth. And you have shared that with us in the Word of God. Help us then to depend on that entirely. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.